everything all done. Good morning. It's good to be here with you on this beautiful Sabbath day. Before I start, I have a special friend who I would like to introduce to you and have him come up, David Ruziska. I just met not even 7 days ago, well, I guess 6 days ago when he came to our New Start program. I want him to share with you some of the things that he's experienced. You know, you wonder what we're doing up there in Weimar. Well, you need to come up and see. There's exciting and awesome things that are happening. And let's see, does this microphone work here? 1-1-1-1, David. David, how did you come to New Start? Who told you about it?
Motorcycle Ministries minister came to my home, Big Red, when I was sick in bed. And he testified that New Start was a wonderful program. He'd lost tons of weight and lowered things for himself. And I ride with a different kind of a motorcycle club than ministries. And tells me God brought him to me because he brought me to here. That's how I got here. They had a big rally, raised the money. Here I am.
David, did you have any health problems before you came to New Start?
Yes, I was riddled with diabetes, obesity, high blood pressure. Couldn't touch my toes, couldn't trim my toenails. I've only been here for 5 days. This is what I got to tell you. I've only been here for 5 days, and this shirt did not fit when I came here. Now, and that's the truth. My wife said, you're supposed to wear a nice shirt when you go to New Start, Dad. So I said, but the shirt don't fit very good. And so it's, well, all right, Red told us I'm going to lose some weight. So by the time I leave there, the shirt should fit. Well, it's 5 days later, the shirt's not going to fit anymore in 10 more days, I'm thinking. So I'm doing a swell job. Yeah. My medical problems have just about dissolved, and I can testify that truthfully. My medications have been eliminated. My blood pressure has gone down dramatically. I've gone from 180 units of insulin a day to 60. Again, my size is a testimony of what they do at New Start is a perfect thing.
David, did you ever have an affinity or a desire for beer or alcohol in any form? And when was the last drink you had?
Well, I never really had a desire after I got to New Start, but I drank like a pig until the day I did get there. A huge amount of beer, huge. It almost sounds like I'm bragging. 30 cans of beer a day, every day after work. Go home, mow the grass, work on my motorcycle, guzzle beer. You know, that's the way it went. Get up, go to work, and guzzle beer. But, and yeah, as a matter of fact, to answer your question, I've had a few.
Do you miss it?
No, I don't miss beer. I don't miss food at night. And I don't miss meat.
Whole plant foods eaten whole. Does it make a difference?
Apparently it does, because I don't wake up with these crazy cravings. I even skip supper time meals because I'm still full from the lunch that maybe I didn't even particularly fall in love with. It still satisfied my stomach. So,
how much weight did Red tell you that he lost?
Big Red has lost 85 pounds to date from the New Start program.
David, do you think that New Start changes lives?
I think New Start is a miracle in itself. I don't think it would just change a particular life it's going to affect everybody that ever becomes involved with it. Their families, everybody. Everybody. It's a true gift.
Thank you very, very much, David, for sharing with us.
Thank you for having me.
Behind us is there. We have a special privilege working at Weimar New Start of seeing many people come through. And, you know, I had some other patients or guests as well, and I talked to them, and one of them had a similar experience with David as far as he came in and he had not learned that you're supposed to eat your grain rather than drink your grains. And he somehow got into our program and, you know, he came to stop drinking, and he hadn't stopped before he got there. But the Lord worked with him, and again, he didn't have any problems with withdrawal either because we prayed for him, and God works miracles. Before we go any further, I invite you to bow your heads again with me for prayer. Lord, as we reflect and talk and study and learn this Sabbath morning, we pray that your Spirit will be here, that my life is totally surrendered to you, and that you will use me, that you may be honored and glorified. Thank you for answering our request, because we have made it in Jesus' name. Amen. Your memory text this morning was about the physical, mental, and the spiritual, you know, whole person. You know. And again, as we deal with people at New Start, we work with the whole person. Loma Linda University, the motto of Loma Linda University is to make man whole, and that includes physically, mentally, and spiritually. And unless you have that combination of all three, it's not going to happen. Physical healing is one thing, but total physical healing includes both the mind and the soul, and we need to recognize that. Now, it's been interesting in the past few years. There have been conferences on spirituality and health. Even Harvard has held some of these. Now, are people spiritual because they're healthy, or are they healthy because they are spiritual? Is there a relationship? You know, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? Let's explore that today. Well, what is spirituality? If you want a definition of spirituality, we say it's a sense of connectedness with what is considered absolute, immanent, or transcendent power. Well, you know, that sounds good. What does it really mean? And how about religion? A ritualized spirituality, a codified system of belief, worship, and conduct that often includes a sense of the spiritual. Well, okay. Now, if you go to the internet, you go on Google and you type in spirituality and health, you're going to get thousands of references and find some exciting and interesting things. Well, at this time, there were some studies that they looked at. 724 studies, 478 found a significant relationship between religious involvement, better mental health, greater social support, and less substance abuse. Well, some of you are familiar with Alcoholics Anonymous, and they, you know, that they have a 13-step program. And you know, as they go through the program, one of the interesting things about AA and their program is that the people who go to that program, even though some of them may not believe in God, are told that they need to pray. And so for those who don't believe in God, I mean, the way they're told, they pray to higher power. So there is something extra that we need to be healthy. And as we work with people in trying to help them in their lives, I've come to realize that in many ways, we as healthcare workers are in many ways like the pastor or evangelist. We're trying to change behaviors, health behavior. In fact, we had a class like that in our master's program, Health Behavior Change. People come to us with their various behaviors, their habits. And because of their various habits and their behaviors, that's why they have the health or lack of health which they come to us in. And as they change these behaviors and as they begin to experience and go through the things that, like David has been through and all of our other guests go through, they begin to feel different. Changes and transformations take place. But you say it can't be that simple. Food, exercise, water, prayer, does that make a difference? Absolutely and incredibly it does, because we've seen it time and time again. I haven't been there 12 years, but I've been doing this type of work for 31 years. My other associate there, Dr. Lukens, has been there 20 years. And it's amazing the changes that we continue to see happen in people. Now, it's a well-known, recognized fact that those who do go to church seem to have less health problems, and they seem to live longer. They're not sure why, but that is a recognized medical fact. Now, this was from the Mayo Clinic Proceedings. 18 prospective studies have shown that religiously involved persons live longer. And we also know that people who are married seem to live longer and have better health as well. Well, what are some of the possible mechanisms, or why does this happen? Well, they could have better health habits, and many of them do. Less smoking and drinking, dietary precautions, vegetarianism. Do some people go to church? Are they vegetarians? And the answer is yes in some groups. Buddhists are a large group that are primarily vegetarians, and in some of the religions from India, the Sikhs, some of them practice vegetarianism as well. So we as Seventh-day Adventists aren't the only people who advocate and promote a vegetarian lifestyle. Social support, networks, sense of meaning and purpose. Now, features of spirituality include a quest for meaning and purpose and transcendence. You know, what's the purpose of life? Why am I here? Have you ever really thought about that? You know, and as I look and think about some of these things, I think about something that a baseball player who some of you have heard of, his name is Yogi Berra. You ever heard of him? He's the kind of guy, he would say, the main thing is the main thing. Well, I'm trying to get to you the main thing, and the main thing is about your relationship with God. The better your relationship with God is, the better your health is going to be. Now, the better your health is, the better your relationship with God can be as well. Because your mind will be clearer. See, God communicates to us through our mind. And it's our mind that we use when we read and study the Word. And the healthier you are, the better rested you are, the better exercised you are, the clearer your mind is because of the foods that you eat and the things that you don't drink or use, the clearer your perception and understanding of God and His purpose for your life will be. And the more joyful and meaningful and happier it will be. So it all works together, physical, mental, and spiritual, the whole person. So religious involvement, spirituality, they're overlapping concepts. It's really hard to separate them, and that's true. And, religion gives structure and meaning to human values, behaviors, and experiences. There's many different religions in the world, but there's only one God. And, people come to Him in different ways, but there are ways that are more meaningful. Well, as we look at the research literature on health and spirituality, we find some very interesting things. Two major areas, religious practices, health altruism, forgiveness, and longevity. At this time, a few years ago, there were about 1,200 studies. And in the area which we're going to talk about this morning, prayer. Can you really quantify prayer and quantify the effect of prayer? How does this work in? And so they had some very interesting studies on this subject, and we're just going to share with you a few of these studies. Prayer and distant healing. There are approximately 150 studies. Prayer and distant healing. We've prayed this morning. We've prayed many, many times. And you've prayed for many people who have been sick. And we even prayed for some this morning who are sick. And the people that we're praying for, some of them are, you know, they're not here. They're somewhere else. And let's see what happens. Well, what is prayer? Well, you know, we think of prayer, we're talking to a friend, talking to God. Well, here's a ecumenical definition. Prayer is communication with the absolute. Prayer is communication with God. That's the way I think of it. But God is my friend. He's my best friend. He's someone who I can confide in, someone who I can trust, someone who knows what's best for me and wants only the best for me and longs to help me to achieve that. Now, prayer, again, is another definition of prayer. The act or practice of praying, an earnest request, entreaty, supplication, a humble and sincere request to God, an utterance to God in praise, thanksgiving, confession, any spiritual communion with God. You know, Paul says, pray without what? Ceasing. You know, we can be in an attitude of prayer, an attitude of connectedness with God. So here's something I like much better. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it's necessary, because you know he really already knows what our desires are. Not that it's necessary to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive him. Prayer does not bring God down to us. It brings us up to him. So again, prayer is a vital, important part. And you know, prayer is a part of communication. Those of you who are married realize that if you don't communicate with your spouse, things don't go so well, right? And almost all of us, since we work with people, we recognize communication is important and necessary. And if you don't communicate, you can't express to people what you think, and if you don't listen, you're not going to know what they think and what their needs are and be able to work with them. Now, this was a very, very interesting study, and this is one of the studies that we're just going to spend a few moments on. Now, here's the question that was answered. Does prayer influence the success of in vitro fertilization embryo transfer? Report of a masked randomized trial. Well, let me help you understand what they're talking about. What they're talking about is they're taking an ovum from a woman. They're fertilizing the egg or the ovum. They're implanting it back in the woman's womb because they haven't been able to get pregnant normally. And the outcomes they're looking for are, does the egg stay implanted in the womb? And of course, the final outcome is birth. And the question is prayer going to make a difference on this group of people that are being studied? And the people who are praying for the people don't know who the people they're praying for. The people who are taking part in the study, the ladies that are having, you know, their eggs implanted back in after they've been fertilized, they don't know which ones of the group are being prayed for and which ones are not being prayed for, because this is what we call a randomized study. In other words, certain ones are being prayed for. They're the designated group, the prayed for group, and the not prayed for group. Now, the group of ladies that are being prayed for are in Korea. I think it's South Korea. And the group of people that are praying for these people, I think, are in the United States and in Canada and I think in Australia. There's three different groups that were praying for these. And so the successful outcome now is going to be a live baby. And so they want to see if the group that's prayed for have more children, babies that are born than the group that's not prayed for. That's what the study is. So as we said, it was a prospective study. In other words, something that you design the study, then you enroll the patients, and you enroll the doctors in the clinic and so on, and they all agree to this study. It's randomized. That means the people, the women in the study, don't know who's being prayed for, who's not being prayed for. And even the doctors and the nurses who are caring for the patients don't know which ones are being prayed for and which ones are not being prayed for. This is what we call a double-blind study. All they know is that someone in the group is being prayed for and someone's are not being prayed for. And even the doctors and the nurses providing the care don't know which ones are being prayed for. So that's what we call this is masked until all the data has been collected and the clinical outcomes were known. So this was in the hospital in Seoul, Korea. Intercessory prayer groups were in the United States, Canada, and Australia. And the guys that thought up the study were at Columbia University in New York. So what were the results? Well, the patients were 219 women between the ages of 20 and 46 years who were consecutively treated with in vitro fertilization, embryo transfer, over a four-month period. So they were randomized into the group that was prayed for and the group that was not prayed for. Okay, all the patients that came in, they either went to one group or the other, and the women didn't know. All they had to agree with, they were going to be part of the study, and they were told. So the intercessory prayer group had a higher pregnancy rate as compared to the non-intercessory or no intercessory prayer rate, 50% versus 26%. Now, is that significant? Okay. The intercessory prayer group showed a higher implantation rate, 16.3% versus 8%. Conclusion, a statistically significant difference was observed for the effect of intercessory prayer in this group of people. And that met the clinical and medical criteria for being a statistically significant study. Well, you know, you say, I didn't need to know that. I mean, I know that when I pray, you know, I know the Lord hears me. But it's very interesting that put to the scientific protocol, here again, you can verify that when we talk to God, there are changes that take place that are not going to happen in any other way. Isn't that amazing? Did you know there's a statement to the effect that when we neglect to pray for someone who's sick, when we neglect to pray for someone who's sick, the Lord can't do as much for that person as he would like to do? That's how important it is for us to pray to God for others, you know, as well as for our own needs. It's awesome. It's amazing. Well, here is another study published in the Southern Medical Journal. Positive therapeutic effects of intercessory prayer in a coronary care unit population. So these were people who'd come to the hospital. They had severe heart disease, severe enough that they had to be hospitalized. And what they were looking for, over 10 months, 393 patients were admitted to the coronary care unit at this hospital, and they were randomized into a prayed-for group and a group that was not prayed for. And so let's see what their outcome was. Well, while hospitalized, the first group received intercessory prayer by participating Christians outside the hospital. The control group, they were not being prayed for. You know, at least they were not being prayed for by the group who were praying, okay? That doesn't mean they weren't being prayed for by someone else. Now, the intercessory prayer group had a significantly lower severity score. In other words, they did not do as badly. In other words, they did better than the other people. They had less problems. They had less complications. The control patients required ventilatory assistance, antibiotics, and diuretics more frequently than the groups in the intercessory prayer group. Again, prayer makes a difference. Well, here was another study in the Western Journal of Medicine, looking at people with HIV infection, AIDS patients. And so what did they find out? So they had a six-month treatment. They followed a certain number of patients for 6 months. And again, what they found out was that those who were prayed for compared to the ones who were not prayed for, they had less problems, less complications than the control group who is not prayed for. Well, this is the one that I just told you. When you neglect to offer prayer for the sick, you deprive them of great blessings. For the angels of God are waiting to minister to these souls in response to our petitions. Isn't that awesome? Many have expected that God would keep them from sickness merely because they have asked him to do so. Dear Lord, help me to stay well. But God did not regard their prayers because their faith was not made perfect by works. In other words, if I pray for God to help me to stay well, but I consistently go out and I break the rules of health, what can I expect? says, Lord, keep me well. Never mind that I'm smoking and drinking and I don't get enough sleep, you know, and I don't exercise and I eat too much and I eat the wrong kinds of food. You're just going to have to excuse me because those are my human frailties. Right? No. No, we've got to be responsible, you know. The good book says whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's in Galatians. So if I sow poor health habits, what can I expect to reap? Poor health. It's not God's fault. God will not work a miracle to keep those from sickness who have no care for themselves, but are continually violating the laws of health and make no efforts to prevent disease. If you know what to do, but you don't do it, like I know I should exercise. That's I was talking in England the last two weekends. It was in Liverpool, England last week, and the week before in Preston. And as we were talking to, well, most people, I said, is there anything that you know that you should do that maybe some of you aren't doing? And the most common one is exercise. We all know we should do it, but not everyone does it. Why not? Oh, it's too cold, it's too hot, I'm too tired, you know, I don't feel good, I don't have the right clothes, or, you know, the weather's bad. There's no bad weather for exercise, there's only bad clothing for exercise. The only bad weather for exercise would be a tornado, hurricane, or a lightning storm. Other than that, you can exercise, okay? And, you know, if you have to, you can just walk in place in your house or wherever you are. So you really don't have any excuse. God will not work in a miraculous manner to preserve the health of persons who are taking a sure course to make themselves sick by their careless inattention to the laws of health. In England, they not only have Kentucky Fried Chicken, they have something else called Crunchy Fried Chicken. You just happen to see the initials are the same, KFC. And so we can say, well, you know, I'm fine, Lord, till I'm driving by a KFC, and whenever I go by KFC, there's no way I cannot go by. I've got to stop in and get my bucket of chicken. And then I wonder why my cholesterol's high, or maybe I weigh too much, and my triglycerides are high, and you know what I'm talking about. If you want fast foods, you need the right fast foods, you know, like apples, bananas, oranges, pears, you know, blueberries. But you want those at the right time. See, they're really very fast. All you've got to do is peel them or, you know, just rinse, wash them off and start to eat. You know, they're good for you. Low in fat, high in fiber, high in vitamins and minerals and nutrients. And they're really good fast foods taken with your meals. Not in place of, well, not in between your meals. You can eat them with your meals. Those who will gratify their appetite and then suffer because of their intemperance and take drugs to relieve them may be assured that God will not interpose to save health and life, which are recklessly periled. The cause has produced the effect. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If I sow poor health habits, you know, don't complain to God. You know, God, how could you do this to me? You know, I can hardly get to my Kentucky Fried Chicken anymore. I'm so banged up. And even it says sometimes they request the elders to pray for them as a last resort. God does not see fit to answer prayers offered in behalf of such, for he knows that if they should be restored to health, they would again sacrifice it upon the altar of unhealthy appetite. So when we're talking with people, and we've helped people lose over 200 pounds and keep it lost, one of the things we encourage them to do is they recognize that they need to surrender their will, their life, and their appetite to God every day. You start your day with God. And then, when you ask your blessing before your meal, I again surrender my appetite and my will to God and pray for the power which he longs to give me so that I will eat temperately and reasonably and that I will also go out and exercise. Because remember, everything God wants you to do, he always gives to us the power to do it, even living healthfully. Nothing tends more to promote health of body and of soul than there's a spirit of gratitude and prayer. Be cheerful, be happy, be thankful. You know, every day is a good day if you wake up. If you don't wake up, you don't have to worry about it, see? You don't have to say, wake up and say, am I going to have a good day or a bad day? No. When you wake up, it's going to be a good day by God's grace and his power. Be positive. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Act on principle. Do what's right because it is right. A merry heart doeth good luck to medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Why be a pessimist? You know, it doesn't work. You know, I've tried it for 10 minutes, and that was as long as I could take. You know, I had to become an optimist. So again, your attitude is really important. Attitude is more important than facts, the past, education, money, circumstances, failures, successes, than what other people think or say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, or skill, whether you're beautiful or handsome, you know, that's not all that important. It'll make or break a company, a church, a home, or relationship. Attitude will make or break a company, a church, a home, or relationship. If I have a critical, fault-finding attitude, I certainly won't be happy. And not only that, the people that I am with, I'm going to make unhappy and miserable. I mean, the truth of the matter is, the only thing that's ever been perfect in this world has been our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you know, and his angels who come down and work with us. But if we look at human beings and we look at things that we do, we're always going to find things that don't really stack up to what would be ideal. But don't waste your time on that. You know, you talk with the Lord, say, Lord, change me, transform me. Help me to be more thoughtful, considerate, loving, patient, and understanding. Help me to do my work well. Help me to have good health so that I can understand your will for my life better and be able to share with others what a wonderful, awesome God you are and how you... and how you want to long to restore and draw everyone into a closer walk and relationship with you. You know, the main thing is the main thing, and the main thing is we've got a wonderful God who's got a wonderful plan for our lives, not only for now, but if we cooperate with him, it's going to last for eternity. Amen. Today is the first day of all the rest of eternity, and I hope you're planning to live that long. And I hope you're planning to be our eternal friends. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we will embrace for that day. Can it change the past? Can it change the fact that people will act in a certain way? We cannot change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react or respond to it, so it is with you. We're in charge of our attitude. So again, I encourage you, I beg you, I implore you, I plead with you, be positive. You know, don't think negatively, because if you do think negatively, your immune system will be suppressed. You know, it's normal that when you have loss of a loved one to grieve, and you know, that's normal. But it should not continue indefinitely. You've got to look to the positive and to the bright side of things. So learn to be positive and learn to be optimistic. So, are you going to have a good day or a bad day? Like I said, it's much simpler if you just make a choice. Lord, when I wake up in the morning, if I wake up with you, it's going to be a good day. You know, then you've got your direction set. And then when you wake up in that morning, take some time and sit down and have your devotions. Pray. Read the word. I'm going through an awesome book, Great Controversy. I haven't read it for a few years, but my wife suggested, along with reading the Bible, I should have a goal of going through the Conflict of the Ages series. So now I'm down to the Great Controversy. I guess I have to go back and do Acts of the Apostles, but I've done Patriarchs and Prophets and Kings, and it's really interesting. And even though I've read it before, there's some wonderful things in there, and I'm just finished reading about the time of trouble. I'm glad that was passed. I'm getting on to the better part. But you know, no matter what happens and what we can look forward to, God will see you through. Amen. He's never going to let you down. Your job is to choose to accept him and what he has for you. So whatever is true, whatever is honest, whatever is just, whatever is pure, Whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on the positive. Dwell on the positive. Makes a lot better sense. Makes a lot, and makes you a lot happier as well. Now, the other thing is, as Christians, sometimes, you know, and it's biblical, you know, it talks about trials and temptations. And even Ellen White talks about trials and temptations. And I'm not about to dispute her. But I like to think of it in a more positive sense, and I think of them as challenges and opportunities. You know, if you have some adversity, it's a challenge. It's a challenge to me, but it's an opportunity for God to show me the way out. You know, God's resources are unlimited. You know, like I was thinking of Tim talking about this Honduras project. You know, the Lord says, the silver and gold is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. It all belongs to him. So we need to give it back to him, and we need to support the mission project. We do our work well. So again, fill your thoughts with peace, hope, and courage. Don't be materialistic, and don't insist on having your own way. That's one of my real challenges. I like to do things my own way, but I have to admit, more often than not, I'm not right, and my wife is right, see, and I have to do things her way. So you gotta listen to your spouse. God gave you your spouse, providing you asked him to help you find your spouse, and that's another important point for the young people. Those of you who aren't married yet, when you're looking for a spouse, be sure and pray that the Lord will help you find your spouse. Because if you don't find the one the Lord intended for you, you want to know who your father-in-law is? You really don't want to know. It's the devil. And he is not a good father-in-law. So you better make sure you find the right one. That goes for both genders. And keep a positive attitude. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. The better you know the Lord, the more peace you'll have and the more trust you'll have. That's really important. Keep, and again, the relation that exists between the mind and the body is very intimate. When one is affected, the other sympathizes. And that's really important, why you need to be positive. In fact, I really encourage you not even to say, as I've heard some people say, I am all stressed out. You know, I'm just overwhelmed. I don't know what I'm going to do. Expression deepens the impression, and you know, the pressure may be there, but you say, Lord, there must be a way out. Now, I'm making an assumption. I'm assuming you've committed your life to following the Lord and doing his will, because if it's something of my own doing where I got into this, you know, this seemingly bottomless pit, well, then I need really extra help. But, you know, then that wasn't God's doing, but I can still call upon him even if it is my own fault. But I may have to recognize this and to ask him for forgiveness and ask him to help me to get out of that place of my own doing, not his doing. Because whenever, if we're committed to him and following him, he never puts us into a place where he cannot extricate us from that place. You know, sometimes we put ourselves into places where really we're stretching God to extricate us. And sometimes I think he has to let us suffer some of the consequences of our own foolish choices so that we'll recognize this. So remember that. Many die of the diseases from which men suffer are the result of mental depression. Depression is very, very common in our society, and you know, they have pills for this. They have uppers and they have downers and they have tranquilizers and they have antidepressants. But you know, one of the beautiful things is, you know, exercise is a wonderful tranquilizer as well as a wonderful antidepressant. Sitting out in the sunshine helps you to feel better. Having an optimistic outlook on life helps you to feel better. You know, having an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness helps you to feel better. And talking about that, do you recall in your life someone who has done something really nice for you, someone who's been important in maybe helping you make choices in life? Did you ever take the time to write or thank that person for that? And if you didn't, maybe you should. And the other thing is, if you've ever been the recipient of a letter or a little note like that from someone that you'd help, how did it make you feel? Joyful and glad, thankful to the Lord. And again, whenever we get praise or honor, I want to direct it to God because he's the one who enabled me to do whatever I do. He empowers us. He empowers me. You know, it's not my strength, it's his. Disease is sometimes produced and is often greatly aggravated by the imagination. And I see this, we see this time and time again in our patients. In fact, I've been talking to patients in the not too distant past about some of these things, and they say, I'm so worried about this, you know, and I'm really concerned. Now, I can kind of glibly say, and I mean, I say this, but I'm sincere about it, but it sounds like I'm being glib. It says, don't worry. It says, God's in charge. And they'll say, I can't help myself. I say, choose not to worry. Because those of you who have worried, have you, in all the worrying that you've ever done, did it ever solve anything? Did it ever make anything better? You know, did it make it easier to face up to what you had? And I think in the most of the cases, the answer is going to be no. It might have helped you to learn to be more careful or something like that. But worry in itself is not a positive way for us to handle or approach things. Disease is sometimes produced and often greatly aggravated by the imagination. Many die from the disease, the cause of which is wholly imaginary. You know, you've heard of hypochondriacs. You know, any little thing, oh, I must have some terrible tumor or something, you know, I must have some humongous cancer going on inside me. Well, the truth of the matter is the more mature you become, that's the older you get. Sounds nice to say mature. The more aches and pains you're going to have. And you can't think that every ache and pain is going to be some horrible, terrible disease. And I get patients who come in with their aches and pains, and I listen. The key for me is how long they've had the ache and pain. If it's only been a few days, you know, I say, well, hold on there. Most of the time, those will pass. But if the pain persists, you've got to check it out. It needs to be investigated. So if any of you have any pains and problems that have been persistent, by persistent, I mean more than a month, you better get it checked out. If you've got any lump that's getting bigger over the past month, you better get it checked out, see. Now, a contented mind, a cheerful spirit is health to the body and strength to the soul. Be an optimist. It's so much easier. I had one of my associates tell me, you're so optimistic, you're not realistic. I said, what? I said, I beg your pardon, I'm a realistic optimist. That's much better than being a realistic pessimist. So, look on the bright side. In the treatment of the sick, the effect of mental influence should not be overlooked. And, you know, don't ever come in to see someone who's not doing too well and say, wow, you really do look bad. I've never seen you look so bad. This is the worst I've ever seen you. I mean, that may be true, but please don't tell them that, you know. Now, I remember in the past when my brother was dying. Yeah, my brother never reached his 28th birthday. He was dying from cancer. That's another story. But people would come in to visit him, and they would travel all the way from Southern California up to Northern California where my brother was, and they would come up to encourage him. And invariably after they would come out from seeing him in his, in the room where he was, he'd say, wow, you know, Kenny really cheered me up. He, who was sick, cheered them up who came to see him. That's right. Your attitude makes a profound difference. The power of the will is not valued as it should be. The power of the will is your power of choice. Choose not to worry. Choose to be positive. Choose to be an optimist. You've invited God to be your partner. You surrendered your life and your will to Him. And as you start each day, Lord, come abide with me. That means you stay together. With Him walking by your side, can you ever fail? If you cultivate a sense of His presence through His Spirit, He will empower you to do what you need to do, what you should do, what you can do, that you may bring honor and glory to him, and you may share with others what a marvelous friend and savior you found, how he's changed and transformed your life, brought you happiness and joy. By the exercise of the willpower and placing ourselves in right relation to life, patients can do much to cooperate with their physician's efforts for their recovery. Be positive. You know, my brother was a physician. He knew that medically speaking, he wasn't going to live very long. But did that change him from being optimistic and be able to encourage others? No, it didn't. So again, no matter what the circumstances, we can look at the bright side of things. Make up our minds to be well. Make up our minds to get well. I'm going to cooperate. I'm going to follow the rules. It will cost a determined effort to change our current of thought. I've been negative my life for so long, you know, I'm just a natural pessimist. Fix your mind upon cheerful things. Prayer is a divine stress reliever. Turn your problems over to God. He's big enough to carry our burdens. Sometimes you say, Lord, take my burdens, but we won't let go. We just kind of hold on to them because we feel so good in our misery. We can trust him to do what is best for us. So, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? And thine ears shall hear a voice behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. If you need guidance, talk to God. He's got a blueprint for your life. He's got a plan for it. Every step of the way. I mean, that's why Jesus communicated with his Father at the beginning of every day, to find out what his plans were for that day. And just as Jesus' plans were outlined for him, God's got a plan for us, if we'll only talk to him about it daily. So again, we have the connection between physical, mental, and spiritual, between body, mind, and soul. They're very intimately connected and related. And when one is affected, the other responds. And again, think positively, not negatively. Don't be depressed. The thing is, you may not choose to be depressed, but if you choose to think about the negative things that have happened in your life and the adversity, by choosing to think about those things, and after a while you're going to say, boy, I've really had a difficult life. I've never known that people could have so much trouble, you know. And pretty soon, we'll end up depressed. When you dwell upon the negative, we will become negative. When you dwell upon the positive, you can be more positive. So choose to dwell upon the positive. See, depression suppresses our immune system. Grief produces depression. And it's normal to grief, but don't stay in prolonged grief. You know, that's why they have grief recovery seminars. The closer the relationship with God, the easier it is to meet the challenges and opportunities, trials and temptations that God allows to come our way. So, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. This, to me, is a reminder of the importance of your devotional life. You wait upon the Lord through your meditational Bible study and prayer. That's the key to your success. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And the other text that I use along with this one is found in Isaiah 50. And it kind of goes like this. 50 verse 4. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as a learned. In other words, if you say, I'm just so busy, I don't have time for God, ask him to wake you up in the morning. And if you ask him to wake you up, and when he awakens you without an alarm clock, get up, pray, study the word. So there's a definite relationship between the body, the mind, and the soul. And it's very important how you choose to think and what you dwell upon. Because what you choose to think about and dwell upon is going to influence your mood. But you can dramatically control and affect your mood by what you allow yourself to think about. You cannot control all the thoughts that come into your mind, but out of the ones that come in, you can choose which ones you want to dwell upon. And I submit to you that God came to give us total healing and restoration, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And as we care for our physical bodies and obey the rules of health, you know, our minds will be clearer and we can have a closer walk and relationship with you. So the main thing is the main thing, and I want you to know God, to know his plan for your life, and I want you to choose and spend time with him every day. That's the secret of your relationship with God. That empowers you to do what he wants you to do. And as surely as you are sitting here this Sabbath morning, he has a plan for you. He has people for you to use your sphere of influence to share and tell others about. And he wants you to have better health. So whole plant foods, eat in whole. Bible study, exercise, lots of good water, adequate rest, you know, nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperance, air, rest, and trust in God. And temperance means nothing which is bad, but in moderation that which is good. And take time for God every day, and he will see you through. He will never let you down. And as he's changed and transformed your life, you can share with others what he can do for them. God bless you.